MZTV.
Hello everyone, I'm going to get right to the point of this video. You've known for years of my teaching that since in the creation process, woman was the last thing created by God, that woman is the most advanced specimen, if you will, that we have of the creative prowess of God, of the goodness of God, and of the beauty of God. I mean, and just when you think this sounds crazy, Paul says that a woman's hair is her glory. And this is the end of what I call the glory train. Paul teaches that Christ is the glory of God. Man is the glory of Christ. Woman is the glory of man. But woman was the last thing created. So what is her glory? Now follow this train so far. Christ is a created being, came out of the Father, and he's an expression of the Father's beauty. Because we can't see the Father, he's absolutely invisible. So Jesus Christ is his image, the image of the invisible God, and he gives God a good reputation, puts God in a good light because he expresses the will, the love, the beauty, the wisdom of the Father. And now, through Christ, we have humanity created. Adam. Adam was made in the image of God. And Christ expresses his life through, for instance, the body of Christ, through human beings. So we have Adam on the earth. God puts Adam to sleep, and he brings another creature out from him. It's woman. She comes out of man. And if you read about the Proverbs 31 woman, the woman gives the man a good name. The man is praised in the gates because of his wife. She gives him a good name. So Paul says that the woman is the glory of the man. God, Christ, man, woman. But since woman was the last thing created, what is her glory? Astounding as this seems, I've taught on this before, a woman's glory is her hair, her tresses. And so, again, as remarkable as this seems, a woman's tresses are the first contact the world has with the glory of God. I call this the glory train. It starts with a woman's hair. That is the world's first contact with godly beauty. A woman's hair on the woman, the man, Christ, and God. And we are to look upon this beauty as a reflection of the goodness and the beauty of God. I realize this is a great secret. Some might call it a mystery, but it's amazing that this is actually written about in scriptures by our apostle. And I am so interested in the beauty of God. And we will see the beauty of God when we see the face of Christ. I mean, all of us, aren't we? We're fascinated with beauty, and this is built into the human race. God is beautiful, but he's invisible. So his whole creation screams of his beauty, of his elegance. And yet we have a gaggle of sour people called Christians who refuse to acknowledge the beauty of God. Now, I focused on this in my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, but I'm going to expand on that because I see it now in a completely bigger sense, which with this as the starting point. As you know, there's a giant movement in Christianity that female beauty is a sin, female beauty leads to sin, and the book that I wrote a book against called Every Man's Battle, that book pits every man against his own nature that wants to appreciate God's premier creation and her glorious hair, because that is a picture of God. You can prove it in the scripture, the glory train. Yet this gaggle of sour people has made it a sin to appreciate feminine beauty. And so they have commanded one another. This is a satanic inspiration to bounce their eyes from beauty. They are not to look at it. Why? That's the big question. What would be so bad about appreciating beauty? Because Christianity, the entire religion, has made feminine beauty a dirty thing instead of a good thing. It's bouncing the eyes from beauty. And as you've heard me say before, this book, Every Man's Battle, actually spends a couple chapters teaching men how to bounce their eyes from feminine beauty. And the reason is because these men are so insecure, so unable to trust themselves, and apparently the Spirit of God in them is so weak, so vacant, that to them, one glance will lead to a number of sins, a cascading event of sins, sins, sins. That's how little they trust God. That's how little they trust the Spirit of God within them. So I ask myself today, is this but a symptom of a greater problem? And it is, and this is my main point today, it is a symptom of a greater problem in that the same sour people also hate the beauty of God. Well, Martin, you're already intimating that because you say they hate the beauty of women. They don't trust it. They hold it at arm's length. They won't even look at it, but it's just a symptom of a greater hatred. They hate the grace of God. They hate the goodness of Christ. And again, the same reason, really, is this: they don't trust themselves. For instance, how many people have you set the glorious truth before that sin is no longer able to condemn us? It's a beautiful thing that Christ has taken away the sins of the world and that God now looks at us with nothing but grace in his eyes, nothing but love in his eyes for us. And Christianity teaches people to bounce their eyes from that truth. They hate that truth. They're repulsed by the beauty of justification, by the beauty of grace, because they don't trust themselves in the face of it. They imagine that their very first acceptance, if they listen to what we say, that sin can no longer condemn us, and in fact, Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace superabounds, they so don't trust themselves that they will bounce their eyes from Romans 5:20. They'll bounce their eyes from Christ on the cross, unless it's some sort of perverted inspiration for them to go thou and do likewise. That is, try to die for their own sins, try to conquer their own sins. They can't look at it as a completed work because it's too blindingly beautiful. And this other thing with the women is just a symptom of, again, this greater problem. They can't handle the beauty of grace. And this is really a testament to how little they trust the Spirit of God within them. They think that by letting their guard down and accepting this scriptural verse, Romans 5:20, I'm telling you, they bounce their eyes from so many scriptural passages that illustrate the beauty of God, the love of God, the acceptance of God, the smile of God, the sunshine of God, everything that is right. I mean, woman is everything that is right with God, and they're bouncing their eyes from the most attractive among them. It is unnatural. But it pales in comparison to bouncing their eyes from the beauty of grace. Oh, but no, if we entertain for one moment, if we entertain what Martin Zender and these other people are telling us about grace and that sin can actually not condemn us anymore, we'll let down our guard, and the next thing you know, we're going to sin like crazy. This is what they think. That's what they think with women. We can't look at a woman for a second, or we're going to sin, 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 sin. We can't look at grace for a second, or we're going to sin, 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 sin. So their obsession is with themselves. And they're so obsessed with themselves that they do not see God as a present help or Christ as a present help. They do not trust the Spirit of God within. But what you do as you just appreciate the beauty and the glory and you trust God. Paul says, where sin increases, grace superabounds. He also said, which is shocking for an ex-Pharisee, all is allowed me. Not all is expedient, that's true, but all is allowed me. Oh, they can't entertain. They have to bounce their eyes from that. From that verse, they have to bounce their eyes. They can't entertain it for a moment. Because in their sick minds, in their non-trusting minds, that will just lead to sin after sin after sin. But they've never tried it. They don't trust it. They've never tried it because they don't trust it. God has given us a spirit of boldness. 2 Timothy 1, God gives us a spirit of boldness. So we look grace straight in the face. We look at the beauty of our sins being gone, of being justified straight in the face. And we say, I'm going to trust God with this. It's bold. It's like jumping off a bridge with a bungee cord. It's like you're not sure the bungee cord's going to hold. You're not sure it's short enough. It might be too long. You're gonna die. Or jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. Even with a parachute. Try jumping out without one. But with a parachute, you just don't trust it. You're going to get this thrilling experience of falling free, but you don't trust the parachute. And so I think these people are so non-trusting of God. This is what this reflects. It reflects a really hardcore distrust of the goodness of God. It's like, God can't be this good. All goodness will lead to something terrible. What distrust? All goodness. This is what they think. All goodness will lead to something terrible. But the goodness is coming from God. Where did woman come from? From God. Oh, but she looks just too beautiful, too beautiful. I can't trust it. I can't trust myself. I can't trust God. Why did he do this? Why did he make such a beautiful creature that's going to cause me to stumble, to sin? Same with Christ on the cross, taking away the sins of the world. It's too good. They can't look it straight in the face. They have to look at it askance. I swear to you, they can't concentrate on it too long. But that's exactly what I did in 1979 when I saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth. I stared into the eyes of my Savior. I watched every second of the passion of him dragging his cross to Calvary. And I was undone. And I said, I have to know you. I have to know you. And at that moment, I completely trusted it. It's like, I'm going to let myself just believe this. And see where it leads. See how good it is. See how beautiful it is. I am not going to bounce my eyes from it. To me, it wasn't too good. Because here was Christ, the image of God. God sent him to do this. God sent him to do this. Isn't God beautiful? Isn't God loving? Isn't God gracious? I think so. And so who in their right minds would bounce their eyes from that? And yet when we bring them these verses about the salvation of all, oh, no, 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 they can't look at the salvation of all. It's too beautiful. They bounce their eyes from 1 Timothy 4:10, 1 Corinthians 15:22, Colossians 1:20. They bounce their eyes, bounce their eyes, bounce their eyes. They're afraid of it. Deep down, they're afraid. It's fear. And who is the author of fear? Satan. Satan is the one that makes them afraid of the goodness of God. And again, I didn't realize how far it went. When I wrote my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, that's where it started for me. It was so curious. They're bouncing their eyes from beauty. From God's premier creation. Why are they doing it? Well, in the book, I didn't get past that. And I'm just analyzing that. But now I'm looking at it as symptomatic of a greater problem. And that is not trusting the beauty of Christ, the beauty of grace, the beauty of justification, the beauty of our sins being taken away. And the more I think about this, I know what the key is. There's two reasons. It is fear and distrust. Fear and distrust. And both the fear and the distrust are aimed at God, the Creator. They're not quite sure that he would create something so good. They look at it as a trap. They look at woman as a trap. They look at grace as a trap. They look at the salvation of all as a trap. They look at justification as a trap. It's a trap. These people can't be right. The scriptures can't be right. They know these verses are in there, but they are trained. I'm telling you, they are trained to bounce their eyes. You remember I showed that one guy the verse of Isaiah 45:7. God says, I create evil. I create evil. I said, what about that? Do you believe that? He goes, well, I would have to read that in the King James Version. Well, it just so happens he had a King James Version. I grabbed it from him, not very politely. I opened it up, the Isaiah 45:7. I showed it to him. I read it to him. It said it in black and white. I, the Lord, maker of good, creator of evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. And you know what he said? You remember this. I've shared this with you many times. He said, I don't believe that. What did he do? He bounced his eyes, couldn't look at it. The blindingness, he would be blinded by the light, because that verse, while it seems terrifying, is glorious. God is in charge of the breaking. Evil means to break. God, who is a God of love, don't they all preach that? Don't they all say God is a God of love? So if a God of love is creating evil, that is, if he's breaking things, then he must have a purpose behind it, which he does. He breaks in order to build back up. He kills in order to make alive. He disrupted the first earth in order to regenerate it. It's distrust of God. I mean, you really have to have a wily adversary to make people turn away from the most beautiful things that life has to offer. The most beautiful things. They can't trust God. They don't trust God. And again, this is the trap of Satan. Satan has inspired this fear. You're going to trip. It's going to lead you astray. You can't appreciate it. You can't walk in it. You can't enjoy it. You can't celebrate it. But what do we do? What has God done for us? He has exposed the lies of Satan. Exposed him. It's all a fiery front. It's all a fake wall of fear. There's so much beauty behind the wall that most of the world's population just bangs their head against. It's the lie that it's just too good. It can't be this good. How many times have your friends or family members said that to you when you bring the salvation of all to them? It can't be that good. See, Christians want good news as long as it's not too good. As long as it's not too good. It's too good. It can't be that good. We can't look at it, Martin. You're painting too glorious of a picture, too good of a picture. This will lead to the decay of the human race. And yet, what have we done? By the grace of God, we've seen past the fear factor of Satan. We've seen it as a lie. We've gone behind the curtain. And we trust God. And what has he done? He's not only given us these truths, the truths of the salvation of all and of justification, but he's shown, and the truths behind him creating evil and the purpose of it. He's taken us behind the curtain and shown us everything. That is the advantage of going past the curtain of fear that Satan has set up to keep people from enjoying it, appreciating it in the most elemental level. It's enjoyment. It's an enjoyment. I think I'm like you. I enjoy being justified. For freedom, Christ frees you. I love it. This is why when people like Johnny Green or Caitlin Green come up and start talking about sin again, it's so foreign to me now. I don't analyze myself. And if somebody sees me gazing at a beautiful woman, I don't feel condemned at all. I enjoy it. I'm free. And I find that not once Have I ever noticed a beautiful woman and followed her around to take advantage of her or commit a crime against her? This is just, it's obscene fear, obscene worry. And neither has my flesh taken obscene advantage of all is allowed me. In fact, we know that it has the opposite effect. That is another advantage of going through the curtain of fear, getting into the beautiful light and truth of God. You find out that everything they told you was a lie. You're going to fall. It's going to cause you to stumble. It's going to make you crazy. It's going to turn you into a criminal. It's all, you can't look at this. You're going to end up hating humanity by believing God's the savior of all humanity. You're going to end up hating humanity. By appreciating female beauty, you're going to become a rapist. The next thing you know, you're going to be dismembering women in your basement. It's inevitable. Don't look. Don't look. If you start reveling in your justification that there's nothing you can do to offend God, why, the next thing you know, it'll start small, but you'll be robbing 7-Eleven stores. Then you'll be killing people. Then you'll be shooting members of your own family. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Don't go. Don't look. Don't look. Oh my God, Satan has built this incredible curtain of fear. You can't trust God. That's what Satan says. That's what Satan says. He says two things. You can't trust God. It can't be this good. And if you even look at this is Satan's lie. If you even look at this, oh, bad things are going to happen. Bounce your eyes, bounce your eyes, bounce your eyes. And it starts with what they think is an innocent thing. Just bounce your eyes from a beautiful woman. Don't look. But you see what I'm saying now. That is symptomatic of a greater problem. It's just one thing they bounce their eyes from. The whole thing just exploded for me today. They bounce their eyes from God. They bounce their eyes from Christ. They bounce their eyes from grace, from salvation, from freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation. What the hell is wrong with these people? Satan's lies are strong. These people I'm talking about do not have a spirit of boldness. But Paul said to Timothy, and I say to you, and I rejoice in it today, that God has given us a spirit of boldness to walk boldly into God's very throne room and to bask in the sunlight of his acceptance, love, and grace. Who the hell among us would ever bounce his eyes from that?